There was a man who went to the Holy Land with his wife, to see the sights. And while his wife was there with him, the wife died. So the man went to the mortuary and he said, "I'd like to have my wife flown home to be buried." And the mortician said, "Well, that will cost you $5,000, or you can have her buried here for $150. And right here in this special place in the Holy Land." So the man said, "I'll go home and think about it." So he came back, and the man said, "I think I'd like to fly her home, even though it's more expensive." And the mortician said, "Well, that's fine. May I ask why you chose that when the other is so less expensive and such a special place?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you. I heard that somebody else was buried here in the past and rose after 3 days, and I can't take the chance." Sorry. You know, I don't usually tell jokes at Mass, but, you know. That was for Bishop Steiner, if any of you know who that is. He's got one that's much worse than that. Don't quote me. I find the resurrection of the dead to be a very real and present reality. As a priest, I'm constantly either welcoming new life into the church with baptism. Last night we had 24 lives, some babies and some older, and some are here today. And also 6 that were welcomed into the church into the fullness of communion. And we also, part of my job is to help people into the next world. And often I hear stories about what they see and hear on as they approach the world to come. It's very ignorant, those who think there is no such world. They don't live and work. If they worked in the reality that I did, they would not be so reticent to believe in it. We have to ask ourselves why the Lord set the world up so that it is not so obvious that he exists. And the reason, of course, is faith. We're here to make a real choice. I remember when I was thinking about becoming a priest, I had a very good job. In fact, I was due for kind of a promotion and relocation, and then there was the seminary, and that didn't seem like a really great option at the time. But after all the signs and wonders and things that I felt I had received from God, he stood back and let me make my own choice, and they seemed like equal choices at the time. I'm so glad I chose this. But I remember that in the same way, God gives each of us a choice in what we're going to do in life, not one, but a lifetime of them. And our fundamental option is to choose God, to choose Jesus. And we stumble and we fall. Peter didn't get to the tomb first. Perhaps he didn't love Jesus as much as John. And yet, John waited for Peter to enter. Jesus had a plan for all of them. And even they didn't see Jesus right away. They had to believe the testimony of Mary Magdalene. They had to see the burial clothes and believe before they saw his face. The Lord gave them that opportunity to put their faith in him, to put your faith in somebody before we see the good things he has in store for us beyond all our imagining. This last week for Lent, I gave up television. I don't watch that much, but I got caught up on my reading, and I was reading a very spiritual magazine last week, Popular Science. I look at the chemistry section. I was reading in there about something somebody told me at the last Mass. There's a movie being made about this, so I'm not up on things, I guess, called Transcendence. This individual was saying that, I'm a big science fiction fan, he was saying that the entire mental processes that we have can be codified as to on and off, essentially like a computer. And it could be possible to imprint the entire brain patterns of an individual into a machine and thus to live forever. Now, this is not now, but working towards this maybe in the next generation. And they're quite serious about this. I remember seeing science fiction movies like this. Like there's one on Star Trek where somebody that they love came down and they found out the person was actually a machine. Creepy, you know. So I wouldn't discount the fact that some of this is possible. But to live forever like that, I don't think is possible. We, as human beings, living in a material world, there's not one thing around us that won't come to an end one day, maybe far beyond our lifetime. Things change. We are here for a while. This is a rest stop. We can't stay here. It is not designed for that. One thinks about the possibilities I think we live in a world that within us, we have a desire to live forever. There's not one person, I don't care how old we are, that doesn't think there was so much more I could have done. How did my life go so fast? That's what I'm told. And it's because within us is a seed of eternity. Almost every culture has had an idea that someone or something lives forever. In our Christian tradition, all of us are invited in. But there's still the reality of day-to-day living. We suffer and we die. We get sick. God is not always present to us. Even the disciples had to search for God on a regular basis. Peter was often freed from prison, but one time he wasn't. Did God abandon him? No, that was his moment of glory. So in the scriptures, we see how to live. You can think about the implications. If it were possible to live on this earth forever, would that be paradise? Does anybody want to live in Kaiser forever? It's a great place, but someday we'll want to move on. Someday I will have seen everything on earth. What, do you want to live in a machine? There's got to be something more than that. You know, it sounds cool for maybe a day, but then please give me the, well, maybe not. You know, what would the world be like if tyrants never died but kept growing in power? If people with extraordinary wealth never had to give it away by passing on to others? What would it be like if someone had invented, it's interesting that the Romans were very close to the modern era when they fell. Many of their inventions were picked up many centuries later. What would it be like if they had discovered a way to transfer consciousness into another, a mechanical body? What if they had never left the earth 15 centuries ago? Would we be here? Well, of course not. They would have closed the gates and stayed here. But that's not the point of life. We're not here to stay forever. We have a time limit. This is a grace. And the Lord offers us transcendence, but on a spiritual level. All around us, at the Mass today, we pray Eucharistic Prayer 1. It's a beautiful prayer we say at Easter because it has special parts for Easter. And it talks about, Lord, may your angel take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven. There's angels with us now. We can't see them. Some of you have seen angels. Many see things like this at death. It's a very real reality. And yet, the Lord invites us to this transcendence. Easter is all about the future. We rejoice. Jesus is not the God of the past. He's the God of our present, the God of the future. He said, I'm at the beginning of time. I'm at the end of time. I am beyond time. He's still with us. And he invites us to step into his world, that even now we begin to live as if we were already in eternity, because everything we do, every step we take, is already in eternity, is observed and seen, and is a part of our eternal existence. Even our failures, which can work to good when we ask forgiveness and learn and overcome. We're here to learn. We're not angels. We're human beings. We're men and women and children. And our Lord himself took a human body. He himself suffered and died. He himself felt abandoned by God. It's part of our journey. But today is Easter, and we are called to think about the resurrection of the dead, not just at the end of time, although that's important, not just at the end of our lives, but to rise from the dead with Christ every day. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Every morning, he wishes to renew us. Easter is a very precious day. For us, this is our first Easter in this new church. Something rose from the dead, you might say, from the parking lot up this year. And yet, it's a symbol of the house that God is building for us in heaven. I'm watching a memory care facility built behind us. It's very beautiful. To me, it speaks to me of the home that all of us are building in the kingdom of heaven. Some of you have your own homes and built your own homes, but there's nothing like the home that God is building for you and me. It's the absolute home of your dreams. And everyone in heaven that you have lost can see it, but you cannot. It's still being built. The key has not been given to you yet. Yet we have the key. It is our faith. We already see through the veil what God has in mind for us. So we just pray today that, first of all, for those who came into the church throughout the world at the Easter Vigil, but also for us on our journey, that though we cannot see Christ, yet we can in each other, in the Eucharist, in the Word. We especially see him in our lives. We see him through faith even through the trials. We thank God that he's given us a vision of the future and a hope of eternal life. Amen.